tarot reader and fashion industry survivor. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then I've turned that hobby into a full-time tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardsy B. So first of all, happy new moon in Scorpio. That actually occurred, I guess last night for some of you. It was 12:07 a.m. Eastern time here. So we're really in the heart of Scorpio. We're in that new moon kind of announcing Scorpio has arrived. So we're really feeling that transformation, kind of that pushing out of the old, and probably some uncertainty for a lot of us of what the new looks like. There might be fear around that. There might be anxiety. There's also a lot of excitement. There's a lot of hope. So we're in the heart of Scorpio season. So if you haven't done ritual work with that already, today, Sunday the 15th, great day to do it. Because now we're moving from now, and I've been saying this, and it's not to kind of put fear out into the collective by any means, but a lot of readers have been talking about this being a really intense time astrologically. For those of you who follow the Leo King, I freaking love him. And he was like, dude, I'm taking a break. He's like out in the mountains somewhere, because the energies are going to continue to build and get more and more intense through the end of December. We're about to head into eclipse season, which is always a really heated time because it's eclipsing old energies out. It's a really time of transformation, a time of release in ways. And we're moving into, I'm just looking at my calendar. Yes, Monday the 30th is kind of the first, that lunar eclipse when we have the full moon in Gemini at 4:30 a.m. Eastern time. And then we move all the way into December in the heart of Sag. That new moon in Sagittarius is also a solar eclipse. So we're going to see a lot of change, a lot more upheaval, a lot more being exposed in that time. So where can we be kind to ourselves? And because we're kind of now bracing for that to begin, as we're in this new moon in Scorpio the rest of today on the 15th, if you haven't done ritual work, where can you kind of offer up some time for yourself to really sit on what it is you're releasing, what it is you're calling in, and any of the uncomfort of the in-between, that's okay too. I always liken this time to when a scorpion is molting out of his old shell, and you know, kind of that naked scorpion of like, I'm ready for the new one, but like, where is it? I feel really kind of off. And for those of you that are feeling that, I have been in that energy this past week as well. I feel you. I am with you. And that's part of the death card, right? We're in the heart of that right now. And the death card is ruled by both the crown, it's ruled by Scorpio, we're in the heart of Scorpio, so this is our first card of the month. It's ruled by both the crown and the solar plexus chakra. And when we think about that, it's kind of that, it can be a beautiful balance of the crown chakra channeling, connecting to source and to the cosmic consciousness and kind of the, you know, the frequency of all, of a collective, of that beautiful light and unity. And then the solar plexus of that, it can be that fight for our own ego, for our individual power. Knowing that, we're kind of in that transformation energy. What is it that we're clearing? What is it that we're looking at from both a crown chakra standpoint and solar plexus? And when we talk about really the transformation energy of this, there is both beauty and excitement and hope, and there's a lot of also fear and anxiety and mourning. And it's okay to go from one to the other. It's kind of okay to know when you need to step back and just sit with what you're processing, and when you can jump in there and kind of shine your light. I recently posted, around the 11/11 portal, which was this past Wednesday, Madonna's song Hollywood came on, and I get a lot of my messages clairaudiently. So it'll be songs that pop up at like a Starbucks, or I'll be asking kind of a question to my guides, and I like to have a lot of my playlists on random, like random playlists of favorites, or my alarm is a random song from my library that comes up. And I was actually really struggling around 11/11, around the Wednesday. And I just kind of was like, I need a sign from my guides. And the song Hollywood came on. And I feel like that was just like a beautiful message, because one of the lines in the chorus is, shine your light now. This time it's got to be good. And this made me think of the death card, right? And in my deck, death, rebirth. And where is that light of rebirth? And where can we shine it? And it doesn't have to be forced. And where can we know when we have to step back and let others shine and kind of allow that to help refuel us. In this energy, I love and I'm celebrating everyone who feels hope right now. You know, my best friend was telling me that her niece is so excited that there's a female vice president. And she was talking about her niece is little. I think she's like 7 years old, and kind of the hope that that's instilling and everyone who is in that hope and enthusiasm, like, yes, we need the hope. We need the love. We need the expansion. And I am celebrating that right alongside you. There's also a lot of people, whether because of events on the world stage, uncertainties, things that may be quite oppressive in ways moving forward, things that might be uncertain, or in our own individual lives that are undergoing those death moments, death of relationships, death of jobs. For me, death of New York City, and I know I talk about this a lot, but I think that it was something that was a part of my identity, and a lot of us have lost something that we really strongly identified as or with this year, whether it was your title of a career, the company you worked for, you were the wife or husband or child of someone who you've lost, you know, physically in this realm, or loss of a relationship. And what does that look like? So it's okay to also be in the mourning side of this transformation and sitting with that and allowing that to process, because when we really sit in that, it allows space for the rebirth to come in. So I kind of also wanted to talk, as we're working with this balance of the crown chakra and the solar plexus, finding that from our lower chakra system to our upper, because, you know, it works from the chakra system, it kind of is ignited with the root through the lower chakras all the way up to the crown. So when we think about Scorpio being ruled by both the crown and the solar plexus, which is right there in the middle of the lower chakras, it's finding that balance. You know, where can we be? And you could liken the solar plexus, that power to ego. Where do I just need to sit? Where do I need to sit and be sad about the loss of my Carrie Bradshaw life, and not feel guilt? Because I'm saying this because someone else may need to hear it. You may have guilt of this thing that I'm mourning is so small compared to what others are going through. You know, I'm grateful to say that no one physically passed for me this year. I've lost many people in my lifetime, not this year. And I'm grateful for that. I'm able to still do my work and have a stream of prosperity and abundance come in through the work that I do. I'm grateful for that. So I sometimes even have guilt for the sadness I feel for my city and for the loss of my previous life. And the death rebirth energy, that kind of like solar plexus to crown, is like, it's okay. Feel what you feel, you know, feel what you feel, because as we do, we're able to alchemize and transmute that to let more of that light come in and allow ourselves to shine more. The other thing I want to say in the balance of that is where, when we cannot, you know, this is always the argument in the spiritual community, and I see this in the death card energy of Scorpio, when you're not ready to fully like, cool, get that shell off, I'm into the next shell, go, go, go. And sometimes we are that. I'm an Aries rising. A lot of times I am that. And I always joke about being the annoying optimist. And I wasn't feeling so optimistic this week. And I wanted to celebrate side by side with my friends and my people that were so excited and enthusiastic. And I just genuinely wasn't feeling it for my own personal reasons and my own personal, you know, concerns and anxieties. And, you know, I realized that is when it's okay to ask for help. And in the death rebirth card, it's all a cycle, right? And when just being in genuinely in that part of the cycle that we're in is so important, without trying to force it or bypass to only the happy parts, only the light parts, where we can access them. Yes, call it in. Like, I love the light. Again, I am that like annoying optimist. But this past week, I had to actually call a couple of my friends and say, I'm not doing okay. I'm really struggling with mourning my old life right now and really missing it and not seeing when a city is going to look like an aligned place for me to live. And it's hard for me some days. And so death reminds us where can we shine our light genuinely, and where can we step back and say, okay, you know, I need to like observe what I'm feeling, and also maybe allow others to shine so that I can benefit from that. There are days when I have, it just channeled through me, beautiful message that I want to share on social media, and then I'll get a million DMs and texts from friends like, I needed to hear that, thank you for posting that. And then other days I'm just like, I got nothing, and I'll scroll through and Feel Good will post the exact message I needed to hear, or Lori Ladd will post a video that makes me cry because it's everything I needed to feel and sit, you know, in my own energy. So this is just a time of like, allow yourself to be genuinely wherever you are in that death rebirth cycle. Our second card is the Four of Wands, but reversed this month. And this is where Annoying Optimist back in the house, because this is all about success, abundance, wins, you know, wins coming in the month of November. But the reversal is more, I look at this and many readers look at this on a personal level. This card is ruled by Venus and Aries. So either way, it's that planet of love and beauty in that Aries, the initiator, the let's get it done sign. So I feel like a lot of work success is coming in for people, a lot of things. They could also be creative ventures. They could be things that were a little bit paused because of the state of the world, or a little bit, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off, or I don't know how I'm going to call this in and manifest it. Definitely coming through between now and the end of November. So I love this. I'm feeling really positive about this. A lot of heart chakra vibes, a lot of like opening to the possibility of these manifestations that we were maybe not 100% trusting that we could magnetize. And now starting to feel like, I think that's possible. I think I might actually finish that thing. I think I might actually write that book. I think I might actually record that song, or I might start this, or I might be able to. I have, my best friend is moving from a condo to a house in Toronto, and it was this month that she's like, yeah, I think I can do this. So a lot of those personal wins, a lot of things we may have backburnered, whether that was because of chaos, stress of the world, of our personal lives, of a lack of certainty of how exactly we were going to do it, this fire of the Four of Wands is really helping us to believe and to call it in a big way in November. All right, so let's look at our card of the week. I am getting a new microphone. I know that my my new apartment is making the sound not as great. I didn't have a great microphone before to begin with, but I'm working with an amazing new producer starting officially, I think, in December. We're gonna see. We're having meetings about it, and getting a new microphone, so sound is gonna be a lot better. Let's see. Ooh, Three of Wands. Okay, a lot of fire, because we have Four of Wands reversed. Death card is water energy, but we got two wands working with us this week. So lots of fire. And Three of Wands is Sun and Aries. And I love this because I am Aries rising, but Sun and Aries, shining light. And I look at this as when we look at, you know, let me find it in the OG Smith Rider Waite in my deck so I can pull the side by side for those of you watching this on YouTube. In the traditional deck, we see this as this guy standing by the shore, waiting for this ship that's on the horizon, and it's kind of like, what if we know, and this kind of goes hand in hand with Four of Wands, and it is the card preceding Four of Wands, so it's interesting because that is sequential. If we know there's this thing that we've been calling in, that we've been wanting to happen, a dream that we're like, I know that I'm meant to do this. I know that I'm meant to be able to achieve this, not just for myself, but for the greater good. We're really going to see ways that this is coming in this week, Three of Wands. So kind of standing on this bank, looking into the horizon of like knowing that you can see these little ships off in the background in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck. And then in mine, it's actually my best friend, Canadian author, Lisa Stanton McCarthy, on this riverbank, because to me, this was like about my ship coming in. She was the one when we were literally on this riverbank in Amsterdam, a canal bank, I should say, that she was advising me to start my own deck. And that was kind of this little sign. Often Three of Wands occurs when we are able to pull ourselves out of our day-to-day routine, when we're able to just be very present in like, how are we, what are the signs we're getting? What are the synchronicities, the symbols that we're getting? So I would really encourage you, even if you can't travel, it's not necessarily a big eat, pray, love trip this week per se, but where can you walk a different way to work or drive a different way to work? Because the signs and synchronicities are going to get very loud. We're in a time now that, you know, we're going to be able to see, decipher, and understand these a lot more quickly, a lot faster, a lot more in real time than like, oh, I saw that thing and then this happened, and you kind of put it together in retrospect. This is going to come through a big way in November, especially this week. And one of the tools I like to work with a lot in Three of Wands is I liken this to programming a pendulum. So for those of you who have ever worked with a pendulum, I'm going to pull this out. I just got this at this really amazing, I was visiting one of my best friends, Danny, and she lives in New Hope, Pennsylvania, where there's this, it's called the Creeper Museum of like all these haunted objects. And her girlfriend was yelling at me for purchasing this because she's like, oh my God, there's all this haunted shit in there. What are you doing? But I felt really drawn to it, which in and of itself, I feel like it's a very, very Three of Wands moment of like, I feel drawn to this. I'm going to trust it. And so this was a really beautiful antique piece, and my niece and I were working with it last weekend. She's 13, and she's really just naturally talented with psychometry of being able to read the energy of an object. And she was like, I feel like this is really old. It looks like it was like handcrafted. You can see that it wasn't probably meant to be a pendulum. It's kind of jankily put together here with wires and whatnot. And she was holding it and getting kind of the download that it was some sisters that owned it whose mother had passed to the other side and were trying to communicate, and they made it from sort of like a piece from a lamp or a chandelier, and she got a lot of really cool information, and we both felt really drawn to it that it was like it was used for good, even if it was in like a haunted store. It was like came from good energy and from you know, light working witches. So love this. And the thing that I love about using the analogy of the pendulum, and you may even be getting this as your Three of Wands sign this week by watching or listening to this episode of this might be like, oh, I feel drawn to work with a pendulum. And that was kind of one of those things coming through. So the way that you work with a pendulum is really being able to first, and this is the step with any signs, one, sit in stillness. You know, take a moment of meditation, however you bring stillness into you to kind of clear your mind out. And then the second is the programming piece. And there's no right or wrong way to do this. One of my best friends uses a mala that he wears, and he works with clockwise being yes, counterclockwise being no. I actually have I have one of these pendulum boards that this way you can get more clarifying information. You can get letters and numbers and all of this. But if you look at this, the up and down would be no, and the left and right would be yes. So I turn mine 90 degrees because I program mine. So if I need a quick yes or no, and I don't have my whole pendulum board there, I program mine as back and forth in a line, straight line from me is yes. So that's a yes. And then left to right is a no. Because I think of it as like shaking my head, like yes, no. So when I get those symbols, that's kind of how I read the pendulum. And the next piece of this is it's just stillness, program, receive. Those are the three steps. So to receive, then what are the messages coming through? Whether it's a pendulum or other signs and symbols. Now, not everyone is going to be drawn to work with a pendulum. As you all know, my main tool is tarot. But when I get signs from my guides, downloads from the universe, I'm quite clairaudient. The way that my niece is great with psychometry, I'm really good with clairaudient messages. So I hear things a lot. And I, as I was saying with the Madonna messaging, sometimes I'll ask for a sign or a song. Sometimes I'll just hear a song and I'm walking and it's playing out of someone else's car or out of a storefront, and that answers a question. Other people work with numbers, animal totems, and this is all what it means to you. Even if you're a numerology person, what does it mean to you? Because for example, 666 might mean like, oh my gosh, the devil, no, stop, don't proceed. But to someone else, it can mean the six is the lovers in tarot. It can mean harmony of coming together, of joining. And if for someone whose child, for example, is born on June 6th from 2006, that could be like, oh my gosh, like birth, excitement, good things coming in. So program the numbers, the symbols, the way a pendulum swings, whatever your signs are, to you. And then the final step, receive. What are you getting? What is the information? What are the signs and symbols coming through this week, this Sun and Aries energy of just illumination, of like, signs. I went on a walk with Lola. I posted this in my stories for those of you who follow at CardsyB on social media. I went on a walk with my little Pomeranian, and it was just in that dark patch of like, oh, when am I going to live in a city again? When is it going to feel aligned for me and the kind of the life that feels nourishing and fulfilling and rewarding? And like, is it going to be okay? Am I going to feel like I'm in this in-between place forever? And was just kind of bummed and was like, I need a sign. And Lola, I kid you not, sat down. Like, sometimes she does this cute little pose and like sticks her leg out to the side. I call it her kickstand pose. And she had her little kickstand pose right next to this four-leaf clover patch. And I saw a four-leaf or a clover patch, and I saw a four-leaf clover because that's one of my signs too. And I was like, okay, it's gonna be. That's kind of like the universe has your back. You're being divinely guided. It's all coming in as it needs to come. So where are your signs and synchronicities this week? The other thing, so tools of the week, I meant to get to this in the death card. I'm just seeing, I was like, have my whole setup here and I'm just seeing I missed this, but I'm going to add it to the end. So tools, obviously, for Three of Wands, program your own signs and symbols. If you feel drawn to work with a pendulum, I feel like you're going to get some good information from pendulums this week specifically. And tools around the rest of Scorpio, and especially because we're in this powerful new moon today in Scorpio, through the rest of the month, these are great tools to work with. I really like butterfly pea flower tea. And this is especially as you're kind of coming through this transformation, that, you know, that molting of that shell, that death rebirth energy of the cycle. Butterfly pea flower as an herb looks like this. It has these really beautiful like indigo blue leaves, and it actually, it smells and tastes when completely unflavored a little bit like sweet pea juice, which that might sound gross to some of you, but it tastes oddly good. And you can make this as a hot tea, a cold tea. You can also mix this with herbs for baths, scrubs, people that smoke herbs, totally like ingestible in any form. So this is great for transformation energy. I like to make it as an iced tea, or kind of like an elixir cocktail or mocktail. And when you do that, this is what it looks like just by itself. It's this really beautiful, almost deep purple color, deep, deep blue. And then you can add, one of the reasons it's known as like having transformative properties, because depending on the pH of the liquid mixed with it, if you are watching YouTube, you can see mixing in this lemon, just straight up lemon juice, turns that like deep blue into this beautiful, almost magenta color. And this is all just like pure organic herbs. Like the first time I made this tea, I was with my friend Desi, and I was like, herbs are magical, yo. She's like, you sound like a frat boy. But this is a really great tea and calling in that transformation energy. So something I drink year round, but especially mindfully consume it during specific energy portals. The 11-11 portal was one of them. And then today, the 15th, this is a great time throughout the rest of Scorpio season. So the other thing for Scorpio that I love, and this is also good in Sagittarius, it kind of has that Wheel of Fortune vibe, but I like it for Scorpio and Sag, is working with Rose of Jericho. So if for those of you who don't know what this is, it's this really amazing plant. When you buy it, it comes like this like little ball. It almost looks like a porcupine with these little prickly bits. And it's known as the resurrection plant because when you put it into a bowl, you can get like a clear, I don't have the water here and it takes a couple hours anyway. Some people also put crystals. I have some crystals that I'm using to work with in the bottom of the bowl, and fill it, submerge it in water, and it will bloom into this like really beautiful plant within like 3 to 4 hours. And the cool thing, it's known as the resurrection flower or plant because if you remove it from water, and give it a break, it will curl up and dry up again, and you can do this countless times. And the other part of that is a lot of people also use the water in ritual work. So you can use this to clean with. It brings in prosperity and abundance. You can use it to make symbols on your door of protection or calling in prosperity. So this is also, I like really working with as you're kind of sitting. I usually hold the Rose of Jericho and sit and meditate with it of what I'm releasing. And you know, especially in Scorpio, as we have this new moon, now we're coming into the calling in. And then as I submerge it into the water, what am I calling in? What am I allowing it to blossom into my life? And again, you can add crystals to this as well. So for the overall Scorpio, especially that, you know, working with the death card and the remainder of the month of November, I would say Rose of Jericho, Butterfly Pea Flower, and then the tools for this week for that Three of Wands energy, pendulums, and just signs and symbols that mean anything to you, really diving deeper into that and looking for where they're showing up in your life. I think that's all I have for this week. Our announcements. I do have some cool things coming up. Monday, as always, 7:30 Instagram Live. So for those of you who, for whatever reason, haven't been able to book with me and want to get a free live mini reading, it's a little mini, you know, 5-minute tops reading that I do every 7:30 Eastern time on Instagram Live. So every Monday night, you can stay tuned for that. Pop on Instagram to get a chance to interact and get your mini reading. And then I have some interesting collaborations coming up as well. Modern Sanctuary, who I've taught classes with before. I sell my deck with them in New York City and have done some little pop-up events. I will be doing another collab coming up for the holidays, as well as with Happy House Charity. And for those of you who haven't already listened, I was so, so honored to be on That's So Retrograde, my favorite metaphysical podcast. I feel like Elizabeth and Stephanie are just the trailblazers of kind of introducing these modalities to the mainstream in a lot of ways. And they were one of my main inspirations when I started my podcast. And they're just incredible women. I read tarot for both of them and have for a little while now. And I was able to be a guest on this week's podcast. So you can get the information on that on That's So Retrograde. If you don't follow them, I'm sure if you listen to me, you do follow them, but definitely follow at That's So Retrograde, That's So Retrograde. And I will post the links to that episode in my bio and in my stories as well. So thank you so much. Have an incredible new moon in Scorpio. And as always, stay magical AF.